This is It's Movie Time, the podcast.
That's pretty cool.
I'm John DeSando.
I'm Jordan Hanalami.
And the movie is The Old Guard, Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Give it to me. It's a superhero film.
It is. That's funny to think of it that way because it doesn't have all the glitz and glamour of a Marvel movie or something like that. But you're right. It is.
And so does it have the action that we might expect?
I guess a superhero movie in the Bourne Identity mold. So a little more of a quick bursts of action and stuff, set storyline that's progressing as far as, you're learning more as you go with who they are, the old guard are.
This is more, for me, a contemplative film. So you think Bourne always has this heavy duty stuff going on behind it, his identity, memory, and so on. More Christopher Nolan kind of thoughts. And this one, to me, strikes that because these heroes are immortal.
As things unfold throughout the film, you find out certain aspects and limitations to their immortality. So it's a chunk of time, a long, long, long chunk of time, but finite.
Yes. Yeah. And I think the basic answer to that is that they can die.
Yeah.
But obviously they have hundreds of years for which to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one of the characters being punished.
Yes.
And he's given 100 years. Of isolation from them.
Crazy. I remember being young and seeing the reference for the first time in a movie to a judge sentencing someone to like 2 life terms. And I didn't know enough about the court system and stuff like that to know what that meant.
Yes.
And I remember thinking at a young age, is this movie like, is there some sort of supernatural element to it? Because I didn't understand how you could have these multiple lifetime sentences. But anyway, came back to this, it's like that kind of a thing playing out where you actually, they are, it's not just sentencing to 100 years, but they're going to die in 20. They're going to live through those 100 years of punishment.
This one makes you face the implications for these superhuman beings that there is a real fault in what we would envy in them.
What they choose to do with their time.
You lose the people you love.
Mm-hmm.
You watch them die.
Yeah, they do. And that is obviously at the point we're catching up with them is that has worn on them greatly and bogged down with, you can feel the weight of all that time on each of the characters.
Yes.
And very similar to a lot of vampire stories of vampires have been around for centuries and had all these experiences and every relationship pretty much that they're in, you know, the people die away or they have to find somebody that is immortal along with them to share this really long journey with.
Yes. The lead actress and the lead of this group, now they have a job to do.
Mm-hmm.
They've been set up. So they're really trying to escape. Big Farm, PHARM, is after them.
Yeah, and it comes into that, I guess, superhero kind of tropes and as you've referenced, you know, James Bond kind of a feel. Where you have these guys trying to scientifically understand what these people are and obviously utilize it to their own benefit. Yeah, there's that kind of stuff plays into it and you get to know the there obviously has to be some bad guys in the mix. And
So some of the usual tropes are going to be there. So for people who like to go to superhero films, you're going to see it. You're going to see fight sequences.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I liked about the film, I thought there was a balance between the introspective, character-driven scenes and the fighting.
Yep, I agree. I think it's something that's going to be to each his own. They do these kind of, you know, some of these flashbacks where you get to see some of them, these old guard along their journey over the, you know, hundreds of years they've been in battles and stuff like that. And those just didn't quite work for me.
Okay.
Filming-wise, it's just, you know, when you... I mean, I get it, but jumping into these, you know, outfits that are from 500 years ago or whatever, you know.
Oh, yes.
Some of that stuff was just, it just seems a little hokey to me.
Yeah.
Takes me out of things a little bit. But at the same time, I get it. I understand why they're doing it to give you some context.
Right. A little contrived.
Yeah.
I think the axe.
Yeah, and that stuff is interesting, too, as far as that actually is probably the most tangible kind of superhero element, I feel like, to the movie is those old weapons that they're carrying along with their modern ones, you know, that definitely give a feel of like a Thor's hammer or something like that.
You know, because really they're outfitted in a contemporary way and they could be an elite group without being immortal.
Yeah. One thing I think about that I wonder, you know, that obviously they're not, this movie's, you know, pretty taking itself very seriously. Mm. So they wouldn't probably get into this, but I find myself wondering, you know, stylistically over the course of hundreds of years, you know, they've seen so many fashion trends over the course of hundreds and hundreds of years.
Right.
At what point do they actually invest in the new trends and the new, like,
yes.
How much do they fit in? How much are they traveling around the world and different stuff like that? They got to be spending a lot of money on clothes, I feel like.
Yep, that's right.
I just wonder, I'm curious if they're like, you know, if the disco era came along and they're like, we're just going to skip this one, you know? Like, it's, I just wonder how those decisions get made in a group like that.
The dominant role played by women.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So you have
do it both in front of the camera and behind the camera. And
Yeah,
so that was exciting. Having, you know, the two main actresses or the two main people in the film, roles in the film, are, you know, the head of the old guard, which is Charlize Theron, and then the newest member of the old guard, Kiki Layne, which is just a wonderful name. And she's from Ohio, so it's super awesome.
And I kind of like her name in this, Niall.
Yes, yeah, agreed.
You know?
Yep.
Isn't that just an interesting name? The two of them are in charge.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But I'm not getting the feeling that it's because they're women.
Right. Yeah, there's no, it doesn't feel anything. There's nothing that feels forced about either of their involvement or their the leadership of Charlize Theron's character seems natural. It seems like she is the person that would be in charge of this group of people, yeah. Not just because she's, I think, the oldest, but because she carries herself in such a way that just she's the leader.
And I, you know, there are some fight scenes between the two of them. There's at least one I can remember, wasn't mm-hmm. it? When Kiki Layne's character first realizes what's going on in the plane.
Or? Yeah. They go a pretty good fight scene, in that. Yeah. That's a really solid scene. And, yeah, there's a couple little moments of violence, a quick stabbing that helps further the story and understanding of who they are and stuff like that.
But that, so. You know, that's what I like about it is mm-hmm. that's not why I would go to this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what excites me about this movie. It's really the character, even though the character development is superficial, Jordan, you know, it has to be
when
you've got so much visually going on and you've got so many traditions in this genre that you have to fulfill.
Yeah.
There are people sitting, they're waiting for this to happen.
Right.
As you recollect Charlize in how many of these films she's been in, from Mad Max.
Yeah, Mad Max, the Atomic Blonde, and this are definitely, she's been diving into the action genre here the last few, last handful of years.
Yeah. And a different one, Bombshell, of course.
Yeah.
But those three action ones.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a difference between her character, Andromache, the Scythian, now, and her character, for instance, in Mad Max? Do you see them the same, or is there any shade of difference and any development?
It's a good question. I see her performance in this and in Fury Road as being very similar.
Okay.
I think they are both really morose characters that are clearly internalizing a lot of, you know, pain and frustration and things, and they're internalizing all that and utilizing it on a goal that's in front of them. And so, you know, with this movie, with Fury Road, I thought it worked amazingly because that whole movie is just a spectacle of that we've never seen before. And both her and Tom Hardy are pretty quiet characters amongst a hugely loud
but
movie.
Your point is, the difference is when you're playing opposite Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me is a big difference. That brings out a rage in her.
Mm-hmm.
It brings out an affection. It brings out some very severe emotions that she doesn't have in this one.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also going to make a case for her that in this character, even though it's not from, it's just not Fury, but it's in this character, she's world weary.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you alluded to that even in Mad Max. I mean, she's had so much baggage that brings her down. This one seems to me to be a central motif in this. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the world. It doesn't care what we do. We haven't made a difference. This character to me is different because I see her as much more kinetic, much more exciting in Mad Max, even though she's got all the stuff that we talked about.
Yeah.
And she has Tom Hardy.
Yeah. 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 And I think you're right that the part definitely called for her to be sullen and, you know, beat down and stuff with this, but still with this focus on moving forward. There just wasn't anything else in the movie that really excited me to kind of move that stuff forward. And I thought, getting to the director of the film, I thought that was an opportunity for them to make some more out of the movie around them. And Gina Prince-Bythewood directed her first effort in an action film. And I found this movie to be really competently directed. Everything is, you know, there's nothing, it's very professional.
Yes,
you know,
it's slick.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nicely made. It just didn't feel like it was made by somebody that had a really strong investment in action films. There wasn't anything, I didn't find anything extra brought to it from what I could see that brought out some more of that excitement and stuff in it. And so I don't know, I guess it's hard. I struggle I think this kind of action stuff is still relatively new. I mean, you're talking 40 years or so, but it's hard because I grew up on Schwarzenegger, Stallone, Bruce Willis movies that were just so, the action was great, but you just fell in love with the star of the movie, and they had this personality that you wanted to spend time with. And so, you know, some of these movies, this one, the movie Extraction, which was another Netflix new release that I thought was had some really awesome parts to it, and I'm glad I watched it and enjoyed it. But it was the same thing where Chris Hemsworth was just so morose in that as well. And it was just like, I just wanted some personality that, you know, to make me want to visit it again, I guess, basically.
Great point, because Chris Hemsworth makes a difference, for instance, in Avengers.
Exactly. You know, he has the personality.
Yes, yes. Just, you can see it there. That's great. And I think that's the difference I was looking at. And it perhaps a little bit about the mood of the film. A little bit about the mood of the characters, a difference in the way they're played. This genre hasn't evolved enough for it to be able to make the balance you and I were looking for between the warfare and the characterization.
Yep.
And they're still weak on characterization, though I thought this one was a little better than most. But in the end, you're absolutely correct. Our friends who leave this movie in 20 minutes, who are sophisticates, who won't stand for it, are asking for something it can't give them out of the genre, the Avengers kind of excitement.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's you know, I think a lot of that comes, I'd be interested to see this movie made by a traditional, you know, action director or something. You know, she's obviously a very talented director, but her films have just been, they are a lot more. She broke on the scene with Love and Basketball. A lot of people you know, my age and stuff, I don't know how much it carries out, but it's a movie that people still hold on to a lot. And then Secret Life of Bees was one that people really love. But yeah, these movies, and then Beyond the Lights, I think, was her last feature. And they're all character-driven dramas.
Great
and things,
point.
You know,
yes.
And so I applaud her for taking on this movie and and trying to, you know, spread her wings and do something different. But it makes sense that this movie was made by somebody that has worked in, you know, more of a drama-driven genre.
I know. I love that point, because we tried to stay away from blaming whatever deficiencies that were on the director. But we eventually came to what I think to be a very important point. Because she's driving the film, she has a background of contemplative, introspective, sweet, lyrical movies. And this is not it.
Yeah.
And yet it does pervade the movie. There is a darkness and a bleakness in this movie.
Yeah.
I accept much better than you do, or Johnny, or some. I mean, I accept it much more than you guys do, because you have very strong feelings about the genre and about how it's going to make it between character and that. And I kind of just let it go and I say yes. And because I really like the character that Charlize has here and drama guy. I like her leadership, and I like the reality of the fact that it's not glamorous, and it's dangerous, and that eventually you can die.
Yeah. Yep, I agree. And it's, you know, I come back to, I keep coming back to it where it's with this movie where it's not, I think it's a well-made movie, and I think it's a good movie. There's just nothing about it that's really making me want to watch it again.
Or to
I don't know that I'll ever watch this movie.
Or to tell somebody to go see it.
Right. Exactly.
You'd almost immediately have reservations.
Yeah.
I guess my typical reservation would be, no, it's slow.
Yeah.
In parts, you're not going to have the excitement that you had in other superhero films. It's a different kind of film.
Yep.
Well, Jordan, I'm telling you, wonderful job here on a movie that you didn't care that much about and which I cared somewhat about. And I think we've done justice to The Old Guard.
Well, and I agree. And I think while I didn't love it, I think there's a lot of talented people involved in it. And I think it's a worthy movie of conversation.
Yeah.
You know, like it's worth talking about.
I agree. And I think the very way in which we fit it or didn't fit it with his genre was exactly the way I wanted us to go in our discussion. And I'm awarding it a B because I think it's a B movie.
Yeah.
What grade would you give it?
Just a bump down. I would say a B minus, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
If this is the beginning of a franchise, and I believe it could be, I believe if they had the right director, point, and I think that's exactly right, don't have that director again. There is for The Old Guard, perhaps in the future, a kind of immortality.
John, I see what you did there.